on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How are you? Episode number 2 of this year for the YokeCast podcast, and we are closing in on the opening game of the football season, closing in on the start of volleyball, and of course, we also have soccer underway. We're going to talk to Michael Thomas coming up in the show here in just a little bit. And Coach Matt Vitstham, an in-depth chat with him about all the different positions on the football team and what fall camp has been like as he enters his first year as the head football coach at the University of South Dakota. It's been a great start for the soccer team. They got a victory to open up the season on the road at Northern Iowa, defeating the Panthers 4-0. And then this past weekend went to Lincoln, Nebraska, and tied the Huskers at 1-1. They had the lead in that one, but finished in a draw. And of course, for South Dakota, go down there. They were a better team in the first half, which was a great situation for Coyote soccer. Now they'll go on the road and play at Green Bay, home on Sunday against Morningside, and then two more road games coming up here in the final weekend of the regular season as they play at Northern Colorado and then at Wyoming. So it'll be a long road trip for Coyote soccer coming up here at the end of the month. But women's soccer is home on Sunday, the 23rd. That's this week, 1 o'clock. It'll take on Morningside at First Bank and Trust Soccer Complex. Had a chance to catch up with the head coach of the Coyote women's soccer team, Michael Thomas, and talk to him about the season. Coach, the season underway for your team obviously opened with a victory on the road at Northern Iowa and then played to a draw on the road at Nebraska. Pretty good start to the season to get an early win and then a draw against a Big Ten team. What have you seen out of this group here in the first couple of matchups of the year?
I think the experience of the group is really, really helping us and helping us get through some tough situations. The leadership has been great through both our captains and our senior class, that we really have everybody pulling in the same direction, and that's helped us be able to score some goals and when the games get tough, get through the tough times during the games.
You look at your team, obviously you got some of those veteran players back, but there's going to be a bunch of young players that are going to have to step up for this group. We've seen that with a couple of goals scored by a freshman, a sophomore scored, got a couple of upperclassmen. What's kind of the makeup of this group when you look at it top to bottom and just how your rosters come together?
One of the things we're excited about is we can be dangerous in so many ways in so many places. I was excited that against Northern Iowa, I believe we had four different goal scorers for four different goals. In the exhibition games, we had two different goal scorers beyond that. So, you know, if we've been on the field four times and we've had six different people score goals for this team, only one person has scored two goals. In the some of the big names, the Clarissa Vegas and the Brooke Conways that the fans are familiar with, well, they're drawing a lot of attention, and some of the other players are doing a great job of running off them and taking their opportunities when they arise. You referenced her, but Kinsley Pasika has two goals, including the goal against Nebraska, and she's just shown amazing composure for a freshman playing her first collegiate minutes.
How important is that early in the season to get some of those young players to score some of those goals when some of your veterans that you talked about with Brooke and Clarissa, when they're getting all the attention, how important is it to get goals away from them and hopefully it changes the game plan going forward for the opponent?
I think it works both ways, but it's really important. You know, I'd just like to give Clarissa credit because she's just such a complete soccer player for a forward. And she had two assists against Northern Iowa, and she's drawing a lot of attention because after last year, everybody knows who she is. And when people are swarming to her, she's very content to lay the ball off and let her teammates score the goal. She was even she didn't get the assist against Nebraska, but she had the second hockey assist she's the one that played the ball out wide. So just her ability to draw players around her and then to find the open player has been huge for us. And then, as you said, it's great to be dangerous from a lot of different places, because that's eventually going to give a player like Clarissa or a player like Brooke a little more room.
I feel like in your sport, the players talked about the most are the players who are able to score goals. One player that you hope is never overlooked, Campbell Fisher. How about the growth of her the last couple of years in net? And she made a lot of saves at Nebraska to keep this team in it. What have you seen the last couple of seasons out of her growth that, you know, it's just built her confidence for this year?
Campbell's another South Dakota kid that has done so well for us. She won state titles at West Central. And the big difference, and I'm just thinking of yesterday, is her presence in goal is amazing. That she's a little undersized for a goalkeeper, but the confidence and the way she carries herself, everybody knows that she's in control of that 6-yard box and the 18-yard box. And that just gives confidence to our whole back line that's in front of her in the midfield and the forwards. So I can't say enough about all the things she brings to the team.
How important is this start for your team here early in the season to get a win, to draw against a Big Ten team as they just kind of build their confidence going forward, not only in the non-conference season, but obviously the important stretch of the Summit League year?
You know, it just makes everything easier. One of the things that I always tell the women is that you really figure out what your culture is when things go poorly. And we haven't had things go poorly yet, but we believe in our culture enough to know that if these results hadn't gone our way, we would have been okay and we would have kept doing University of South Dakota soccer things and we would have stayed together. But it just makes it easier for everybody that I'm confident we would pass those tests, but those are tests that everybody likes to put off as long as they can. And to just have belief in what we're doing and to say, hey, this stuff works, is just amazing for the group going forward.
You know, you had a staff turnover this year, assistant coach in Daniel, Alyssa. What do they bring to this group? And kind of that, you talk about building the culture, you got to get assistant coaches, right, on the same line of the same culture. What have they brought to the table for this team?
Yeah, I mean, and there were some big shoes to fill, that Maggie Sherman had done so many things for the program and filled so many roles. Thankfully, we did have Alyssa last year. And Alyssa is somebody who's tied on her cleats and gone out and played collegiate games more recently than Daniel and I have. So it's just great to have that perspective of somebody that's been there and been in the grind a little more recently than the other members of the coaching staff. Daniel just brings so many years of experience from so many places. He's worked at Indiana. He's worked at LSU. He's worked with some very big players over the years. So it's just nice to have somebody that has seen those perspectives and knows how to help grind out a game against Northern Iowa and knows what happens when we're walking into a place like Nebraska, because he's worked at places like Nebraska.
You look at your schedule, obviously a road game coming up at Green Bay, then finally a home opportunity coming up at the end of the week on Sunday, which will be great for your team. You look at the non-conference, how can this schedule set your team up for the Summit League season?
You know, every game that we schedule has a reason and has a purpose for the Summit League, whether it's taking us into hard places where we're going to have to go on the road, because traveling in the Summit League is a difficult proposition, or whether it's something that we're trying to find ways that to simulate certain teams that we're going to play against in the Summit League. It's a very challenging schedule that I think 5 of our first 6 games are on the road, so I'm excited to be home next Sunday. The women are excited to be home next Sunday. But each and every game has something that we're going to have to bring to be successful in a very competitive Summit League season.
We've talked about the team a little bit. What excites you about this particular group for this season that, you know, could maybe see them continue to grind out some wins and get some opportunities?
I think I've referenced both the things, but it's the experience, the versatility, and the camaraderie amongst the team. that it's really, of course, players have individual goals, and everybody wants to score their own goals, get their own stats, and do those things. But we have a group that is very willing to put the collective whole in front of the individual when they have to get a result. And that's a rare thing. Maybe even a little bit rarer in 2026. And then just the experiences that we have, where the things that they've been through together, some of the wins and some of the tough losses, each and every one of those experiences is drawing us through these things. And then I referenced it before, but the versatility as a coach, my biggest problem is I have more weapons to bring off the bench than I kind of know what to do with. And that's what they refer to as rich people problems.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing how that plays out throughout the course of the year. And hopefully a lot of people come out and watch this team when they finally get a home game on Sunday, take on Morningside. Coach, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Good luck this year. We're looking forward to the season.
Thank you. Go Yotes.
That is Michael Thomas. He is the soccer coach for the University of South Dakota. The Coyotes have a couple of goals early from Kinsley Pasika, the freshman from Sioux Falls. Brooke Conway, Elson Igren, Gabby Ryan, they all have goals here on the season. Couple of assists early on for Clarissa Vega, a star last year, and she's starting to get guarded differently, so she's finding ways to continue to contribute and score points for South Dakota. So we'll see how this group continues to go. Again, they are on the road this week at Green Bay, and then we'll be back at home on Sunday as they take on Morningside. Coyote football closing in on its opening game of the season. The Coyotes will open up the season on August 29th when the Coyotes host Central Connecticut State. This is a team that was picked to win their league, the Northeast Conference, and a playoff team from a year ago. Saturday, August 29th, 1 o'clock, will kick off the season. South Dakota and Central Connecticut State. I had a chance to catch up with Coach Matt Vitzlum and talk to him about the upcoming season.
Coach, by now you're deep into fall camp and starting to think ahead to game week. It's not that far away, and I know there's always work to do as you get ready for all of that. Talk about camp as a whole. What has this year been like? Obviously, your first year as the head coach and leading fall camp, and they got some new staff members, obviously new players to the program. What have the last few weeks been like as you try to get this thing put together?
Yeah, we've had a really good fall camp. Obviously, it's been a really competitive and physical fall camp, which you want. The guys have really gotten after it. You know, we've put them in a ton of different situations and tried to make as many days and as many practices and as many periods as game-like as you can against each other. So it's gone really well. I think our staff is adjusting well to each other. You know, we've put a lot of time on the headsets together to try to get used to that. Overall, I would say it's a really good camp. You know, for the most part, we're going to come out of it pretty healthy here, so feeling good. We are at that point right now where we're ready to go hit a different color and play against a different team. And that's right down the road here, but you know, we got about a week till we fully transition into Central Connecticut State, so looking to finish things out here this week on a strong note. But yeah, overall, great camp, really physical, really competitive, which is exactly the way you want it. And yeah, excited to see our guys moving forward.
Talk about it for you personally. Obviously named the head coach last spring, and I'm sure you know you had time to let that excitement wear off. But then I would imagine as you got to fall camp, media day, fall camp, that excitement kind of built again. Did it feel a little different as you walked out onto that field as head coach?
Yeah, absolutely, right? Like, you now are managing, you know, probably with all the support staff, 125 to 130 people. We're, for the most part in my career, maybe sometimes I'm handling the offense, but handling four or five guys in the quarterback room. So it's vastly different. A ton of gratitude for where I'm at and the position I've been put in. But, yeah, practice has been extremely different, right? Because when something good happens on one side of the ball, it's great and it's a positive, but on the other side of your brain, it's like, what went wrong and what do we got to fix on the other side of the ball? So you're constantly playing that tennis match back and forth in your own head of, okay, that was great, awesome, positive, but we know we got to get this fixed on the other side. So very different camp. I told people, you know, going into fall camp, it has felt almost like I've made a left-hand turn in the middle of my coaching career. And it's very different. You know, the day-to-day is different and just the mindset. But it's been great. surrounded by great players, great coaches, and again, extremely grateful for the spot we're in.
Well, left-hand turns are good if you're a race car fan, so they just keep going and going and going. But, you know, you've worked for different coaches, obviously a couple of different here at USD, but in your career, different coaches. What were you able to take from those experiences and getting to know new coaches that you were able to use for yourself as you kind of got into this position and really had to get a staff and a group ready to go?
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to work for a ton of good guys, you know, and along the way, you're always writing notes and taking things down of things that you really, really liked and maybe some things that you would change. But, you know, the greatest thing about, you know, being named a head coach and, you know, here was the fact that we have an established culture, right? This isn't a situation where I had to come in and relay the groundwork and try to build things up, right? We've set the foundation of the way of we want to do things. Our guys know the standards in which we wanted to, so it wasn't like I needed to come in here and do that. We needed to teach the new coaches those standards, and we want to make sure those standards are very clear. So just setting the standard and making sure all of those standards are met every single day. That's really the job, and I think every good coach I've worked for, it's about having a very clear vision and making sure that those guys have the tools and resources to carry out that vision. And hopefully I'm doing that for our guys right now, feeling pretty good about where our staff's at, where they're headed. But yeah, just having great standards, great foundation is kind of what I've learned along the way, and we're lucky to have that here.
You know, we've seen a lot of football, and some of the best teams that you'll have that'll go through a really good season have leadership amongst the team. And some years it feels like that stands out, others it doesn't. It feels like this year there's a lot of guys who want to be the vocal leaders, kind of like cheerleaders for each other, and just a lot of guys who want to be here and want to play at a very high level.
Yeah, we just voted for captains yesterday, actually, and it's pretty cool, you know, the amount of different guys that got votes. And if you really think about some of the guys that guys voted for, they deserve it, you know. Defensively, when I look at us right now, at all levels of our defense, I feel like there's leadership, which is very comforting. You know, I look at, in the secondary, a guy like Tim White, right, who's been here, has played for a lot of coaches, but he knows the standard, right, and it's kind of his turn, and he feels very comfortable stepping up because he's learned from a lot of really good leaders. You know, obviously in the second level, you look at Wade and Gabe, and they've played a lot and they've been here and they know how to do things and they know what our coaches want. And then along the defensive line, you know, you look at a guy like Chris Dix, and he's been the model of consistency. So just like right there, there's a lot of comfort that every level of the secondary has leader, or every level of our defense has leadership. Offensively, you know, you start with, you know, Charles and Keandre. Those guys have been here. They've done it. They're established, really good players. Tyson Bowes. Along the offensive line, we may have some new faces, but we have some faces that have been here and done it. So, yeah, you look all over our building, and I think there's a ton of different leaders. What you're really looking for is, are there leadership in each individual room? And I think we have that right now, and I think there's a guy you can point to and say, we're following his lead, and he's the guy that's setting the standard, and he wants to be a yote, and he's teaching me how to be a yote. And I think that's very comforting as the head coach when you have a bunch of players in our building that know the standards and uphold the standard.
You know, as we look at this team, if we were to go by position, we don't have to name everybody, but let's break down the team a little bit. Let's start on offense. Obviously, the conversation's been around that quarterback position, right? Austin's a guy who's been in the program a couple of years, looks like he has a high ceiling. Nevin's been in the program. You've worked closely with him for a few years. Jackson was a guy who was a starter a couple of years ago. It's kind of been those three guys at the front of this quarterback battle. What have you seen out of that group as they've just, you know, they've all gotten reps here over the last couple of weeks and all have had the opportunity to show what they can do?
Yeah, I think if you start with Austin, you nail it. The upside and the arm talent is unmatched. What he has lacked and what he's lacking is what we've really tried to lay in front of him, is that game-like experience, right? That game-like atmosphere. So Austin, you know, what we've done in the last 10 days is we have made life pretty miserable for Austin, right? We've put him in some very difficult situations. A lot of the time we're down, you know what I mean? We're trying to get back in the game. So he's having to climb out of some holes where the defense knows we're going to throw it. So life has been difficult on Austin the last 10 days. And he – really needs those game-like scenarios where there's a time on the clock and a score on that scoreboard, and we've put him through it. I really like what he's done this fall camp. I think he's built a lot of trust with a lot of people in this building, which that's what you're looking for. Nevin has been here a while. I think the thing you find with Nevin is just the level of comfort. There's always just kind of that steady Eddie with Nevin. You know, like it may not be extremely high, but it's never extremely low. And he's kind of just right there cruising along. He's done a really nice job for us. Jackson has been a guy that has come in here. And I think if you look at his development from spring to fall camp, you've seen a lot better player, a lot more consistent player. He's very, very comfortable running the football. We've designed a lot of quarterback runs for him here this fall camp, and he's really taken advantage of that. He has that kind of knack of when to pull it off of a defender's reaction and where to go with it afterwards. So all three have had a really good fall camp. Probably looking at making a decision here this week of who we want to start. And those guys, I know it'll be a difficult day for a couple of them, but I know they'll fall in line and be on board with what we're doing.
Well, whoever can get that job, they're going to get helped out by the running back room. That group is very strong. Obviously, Charles and Keandre coming back off an injury. Both I know are extremely hungry. We saw a little bit of Reed. I feel like he's grown a little bit, and Carson as well. I've seen a lot of Julius Ellens this fall camp as well. That's a deep room.
Yeah, feeling great about that. Like you said, just the comfort we have to surround whoever starts right at quarterback with that room. And you know us, if you've watched us for the past few years, it's going to start with the run game, right? We're going to run the football. You know, Charles is full strength, Key's full strength, feeling good there. And then, like I said, you nailed it. Those last two guys, those experience experience they gained last year with, you know, Carson Reed is invaluable. You know, they played in the playoffs. They played in some of those hostile environments, and they got it done for us. So those four guys have led the charge. I think Julius Ellens has had a terrific camp. I think he's going to be a staple on all four special teams for us. And if we need him to run the football, where he's starting to build trust with that too. So feeling good about that. I'm excited, I can tell you this, to watch Charles run the football again, right? When I got here 2 years ago and we got into the first couple games, and then I remember even at like Iowa State last year when three's cooking, we're in good shape on offense.
Look at that tight end group. I know Coach Morrison likes to use the tight ends, and we're going to see a lot of formations with two or three tight ends into the game. How has that group continued to grow? We saw a little bit of these guys last year with Jesse Miller and Acardi, and Chris Heron's a guy who's getting a lot of reps right now, and Cowgill's got a chance. Some of those guys, it feels like it's a position maybe a little bit unknown, but some guys that are growing.
Yeah, obviously it kind of starts with Jesse Miller, right? He's kind of the most seasoned guy out of that. I think Jesse started fall camp with a ton of expectations and probably thought, you know, this was going to – and every year's new, and Jesse's kind of had to take a deep breath, and he's had a really good last week at camp here. So he'll lead the charge for us in there, and then you named it kind of the emergence, and I would say kind of the standout on offense right now when you talk about fall camp has been Chris Heron. His development and his emergence to be a consistent player in that room. I think those two guys will lead the way for us. And then, like you said, we have some experience behind them with Acardi, Cowgill, and Cain Frey. So again, feel good. There's five guys in there that have played, and we're going to play multiple sets. Like you nailed that. But yeah, really, really proud of Chris Heron, and excited to watch him this year.
You mentioned Tyson Bowes when we were talking earlier about some of the leaders in that, and he's kind of one of those leaders in the wide receiver room. I know our fans are excited to see Braden White in a formation because we saw him, what he can do in the return game, the kick game. Got a couple other guys that are obviously Tenelle Bryant back. We know his speed, and a couple other guys, maybe transfers that got to step up. What's the receiver room look like in your mind?
Yeah, I think part of the thing that gets overlooked, I think, sometimes is when you're in a quarterback race, right? Like, we're trying to develop trust and chemistry with the receivers, right? And that's a day-to-day thing, and that doesn't happen overnight. If you watch, last year, I think you saw Lorenzo and Aiden's chemistry grow as the year went, right? Like, we didn't start week one with those guys just hooking up a bunch, right? But by the time we got to week 12 and 13, we knew those guys were going to hook up because the chemistry was there. We're developing that. We're building it with this year's group. I think Tenelle Bryant is an unbelievable talent. We've got to utilize his skill set more than we did last year. We know that as a staff. We'll get that done. You named it, Tyson Bowes, I think, has been a model of consistency here throughout his career. We're excited to watch him grow and use his skill sets to the best of our ability. And, yeah, I think Braden White, I think he's got a chance to be a really special player for us. He's does a lot of different things. You know, he's learning and growing and how to play wide out, down in, down out. Crazy thing is Braden is a high school wrestler. So sometimes he plays like a wrestler and we've got to teach him how to play like a basketball player sometimes. So, but those three guys will lead the charge. And then, you know, I think a kid named Bryce Cahoon has had a really good fall camp. He'll step in there. Dylan Malone has had an injury bug here at the end. But I think those, you know, those four to five guys will kind of lead the charge for us at wide out.
How about that O-line? Kind of a reshaped group a little bit. You've got a new coach in that position as well that came in, and it's a group that I think a lot of people are curious about and really interested in.
Yeah, and I agree, right? We've really kind of moved some pieces around every single day. You know, does this guy fit better at guard, center? I think we feel good about the top six to seven, eight guys. And now it's about finding the right five and the right spots and building chemistry up there and playing, you know, five as one. You know, and I think there's been a few guys that have really stood out to me. You know, I think a redshirt freshman, Lucas Felkamp from Sioux Falls, has had an unbelievable fall camp. You know, probably right next there to Chris Heron is kind of a breakout for us. So I think Lucas will be a staple in there for us on the offensive line. Brendan Crisp is a big tackle that we feel really good about. He had some game experience last year. He's looked really good this fall camp. Those are a couple guys. And then, you know, just kind of plugging and playing the rest of the guys, I think, is really where we're at. I think we got a chance to be really good there, but we're still building chemistry, and that's what we're going to have. We need some game reps and a game plan to really kind of put that final piece together.
Go to the other side of the ball, that defensive line. You mentioned Chris Dixon earlier. Our fans remember Nathan LePerry. He got off to a great start last year, showed his ability. So they know those guys' names. I'm telling you, I've watched a lot of practices. I feel like that defensive line has a chance to be a real strength of this football team.
Yeah, really excited about what Coach Nelson has done up there. You know, we've built a pretty consistent front here at USD in my time, and I think we're going to continue that even with some of the departures that we had from last year's squad. I think, you know, obviously Chris and Nate have really led the charge of the way we do things and upholding this standard, but I look in there, Isaiah Ray is a transfer that we've brought in. He's played almost all of the one reps. I think he's going to be a really, really forceful impact player for us. John Starman has been really good in there for us. So those four guys have really kind of led the charge, but the thing I'm most excited about is I think at the depth, right? I think we can go 7-8 deep and rotate and have some fresh guys in there, so we don't have to play the same four guys for 65-70 snaps. And I think they're going to be a force. I think we're going to probably be able to not get into as many sub packages on third downs because we have four guys that we feel like can rush the passer. So instead of having to bring in a bunch of linebackers and things like that on third down, I think we have the ability to rush four and get home and put some pressure on the quarterback on those must-have downs. So excited about the front we've built. It'll start there. And I know obviously the first thing we've always tried to do on defense is eliminate the run, and it starts with those guys.
Obviously, the linebacker group's led by Gabe. Wade, we saw flashes of last year. I know he dealt with a little bit of injury last year and was out some of that, but his growth continues. Seen some other guys step up. Kane Wallner's been getting a lot of reps. I'm going to forget a name, but 24's been up there a lot playing, and there's been a handful of guys getting reps in there, and I know you'd love to have four to five really solid players.
Yep. It's really, I think Gabe Hartman is kind of that heartbeat of our team, right? He brings that juice. He brings that life. I know you can probably feel it when you're calling games, right? When he makes a hit or when he makes a play, it's very impactful, right? The dome's buzzing when he does it. Our fans love it. I love it. So Gabe's really kind of the heartbeat of our team, not just our linebackers or our defense, but our team. So love where he's at. He's had a really, really good fall camp. He's been very, very vocal for us. I think Wade has been Mr. Consistency. We want him to take that next step and be that guy in there, right? Of you know, leading the charge, being consistent, being confident, trusting it, and going after it. I think that's where we're at with him. And then you nailed it, you know, guys like Kane Wallner, Lincoln Adams, Dylan Hudgens, those guys have taken a ton of reps inside at those two inside backer positions. We're looking for that third or fourth guy to step up, and if those guys got to come off the field, we're have enough trust to put those guys out there. at that outside linebacker kind of stud position for us. Yeah, Harrison Brunn has really kind of stepped up and done a nice job for us in that. And then we've made a position move here. You know, we've moved Bo Ryan from inside linebacker out to that spot. Bo's had a really nice start to his career out there. So excited about that. And then hopefully we get Ethan Carrier back. He's a guy that's really kind of been hit by the injury bug here during camp, but we'll get him back this week. And I think all of those guys, you know, if we mix them up, I think we got a good crew. We just need a little bit more consistency out of them.
And then the secondary, obviously, you got the corners, the safeties, Tim White, one of those leaders. We saw R.J. Stewart play well last year. I feel like Jalen Bain-Peterson's made a big step forward this year from what we saw a year ago. And then there's other guys. Joshua Grant's a transfer. Yeah. He's been playing good. Ty Morris has been getting some reps in there. Kale Kolarik at the safety spot. A lot of guys who, and some of them, Dawson Sexter's been in the program a little bit. Some of these other guys who have been in the program, maybe a chance to build some depth at that spot.
Absolutely. I think if you look at those two safety spots, you know, right now we'd say Kale Kolarik, Tim White have really led the way, taking a lot of those reps, and I think they're doing a lot of really good things. Those two guys really set the calls and things like that for us on defense. So making sure we got all 11 on the same page back there is really, really important. Kevin Doddard is a guy that's really taken those kind of that next tier reps. Him and Collins or Sesher, they've done really good. They've had a good camp, feeling good about the safety position. We've built some depth. Like you said, we don't have to play the same two guys. So those guys have done a nice job at corner. You know, RJ's kind of that – you don't see a lot of quiet corners, right? But RJ is a very quiet corner, but he does things the right way. He's consistent. We have a lot of trust in RJ. And then, yeah, you named it, Josh Grant, Jalen Bone-Peterson, kind of battling for that second corner job. They've both have their ups and downs. We're going to see them both. They're both going to get game action. So yeah, secondary's really kind of shored up. I think we're finding an identity and we're playing fast back there, which is really cool to see.
Last group I got to ask you about is the group that nobody's going to talk about unless something goes bad. That's the special teams. How's the kicking game? You know, bringing a punter from Cal, he's been getting a lot of reps, and obviously we got a kicker battle going on.
Yeah, it's something that I'm not great with, right? I've made this comment before. When the special teams periods, most of my career have happened, I've been in the corner and working with the quarterback. So I think we've taken a huge step at the end of fall camp here in our kicking game. We really want to put an emphasis on that. I think it was an area that we thought as a staff we could get a lot better this season than we were last year. And that's not just the kickers, right? That's all 11 guys on the football field. But it starts with the kickers. Yeah, I think we're doing a nice job. I think yesterday we had two field goal kickers make over 50 yarders to extend the game. Which was awesome to see. We got a little bit of a battle going on there with Ford and, you know, a new gentleman that just joined our roster. So I like where we're at. We're battling. We're building an identity in the special teams units right now, which I love. But yeah, that's going to be a big emphasis here this week, is we're going to have a lot of special teams periods and make sure we feel confident in those guys.
Good news, we've got 2 weeks still a game. Bad news, we've got 2 weeks still a game. As yep. You look at that, I know in a couple of weeks you'll be in game week prep and it'll all be focused on Central Connecticut State. So that means we got 1 week to kind of shore up some things. What do you need to see out of this group in the next week to week and a half to feel really good about going into that first game August 29th?
Yeah, we're going to spend this week, you know, kind of getting into the schedule of next week, right? This week we don't have school. Next week we're going to have school. We're going to try to get into a schedule where it is like we do have school. So we're going to get out of the fall camp mode, which in fall camp we pretty much have the guys from 7 in the morning till 10 at night. During the school year and during the season, we don't have that. So we're going to try to get acclimated to the hours that we're going to be in next week during game week. The second thing I tell you is we got to sharpen our sword with our fundamentals and techniques, right? When you get into the season, you start thinking about the other team's scheme, right? You start thinking about our scheme, and it becomes very scheme-driven. But I think the secret sauce and things is who is still fundamentally and technically sound in the opener, but also throughout the season. So we're going to spend a lot of time this week in individual drills, maybe not as much 11-on-11 football, you know, like I said, individual group work, group crossover, really trying to sharpen our sword and hone in on our craft a little bit more and not make it a scheme driven this week. So want to see guys flying around, want to play fast, want to get in the film room and focus on those technique and fundamentals. That's where you'll see our focus this week. And our guys know that and they've accepted that. Some of that also is we want to make sure we're fresh and healthy heading into that first game.
All right, we're excited for it. I know it'll come really fast, but game day not that far away. Coach, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Keep grinding.
Heck yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for being here. We're excited for the season. Let's fill that dome up in a couple weeks.
That is Matt Vitstam. He is the head football coach of the University of South Dakota. It has been fun to watch the position battles here over the last couple of weeks, and they're going to lock in here on things as we get closer and closer to the season. Now, as this is released, we're just over a week away from the first football game for the Coyotes. That conversation with Coach Vitstam happened earlier this week, so you know, things change, and obviously you hear him talk about the quarterback battle and all of that stuff, but we'll see how things play out as they get locked in here for game prep week coming up next week. You can hear more from Coach Matt Vitstam. There's been plenty of media coverage, but we'll have him on our show on Monday night. We're back for the Coyote Report at the Old Lumber Company Grill and Bar in downtown Vermilion, so check that out. 6 o'clock on Monday. Come on down. Join us in person to kick off the season. We'll be there all season long. We'll have football and volleyball coaches in the fall. We'll have basketball coaches over the winter time, and you're welcome to join us anytime at the Old Lumber Company Grill and Bar, downtown Vermilion, Monday night, 6 to 7 o'clock. You can also hear the show on the Coyote Sports Network and hear a replay of it on the Yotecast podcast platform as well. So we've got all that coming up here, and the season coming fast and furious. But that is the head coach of the Coyotes, Matt Vitstam. Now let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote athletics, because we are flying here into full game mode. Of course, soccer, a Thursday night matchup or Thursday afternoon matchup at Green Bay. They'll have another road contest, but they'll be back home on Sunday as they take on Morningside. Volleyball is set to host Augustana in an exhibition contest Saturday night, so you can check that out at the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. And looking ahead to next week, the Coyote soccer team will be on the road, of course, to open up the they'll be on the road for a couple of non-conference games. 28th, that's on a Friday. The volleyball team is set to take on Drake. That's in the Drake tournament in Des Moines. That'll be Friday night, the 28th. And then volleyball will play Milwaukee on Saturday, the 29th. And they're also in action on Sunday as they take on DePaul, all at the Drake tournament in Des Moines. And, of course, the Coyote football opener set for August 29th at 1 o'clock inside the Dakota Dome against Central Connecticut State. My thanks to Michael Thomas and Matt Vitstam joining the podcast this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.